This is an honor. We have former Congressman Mike Rogers with us, who was, I don't know, Congressman, seems like I've seen you in the news a lot recently. Have you seen yourself in the news a lot recently?
You know, I have not seen myself on the news recently, other than those little monitors under the camera, which are really distracting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you spent a lot of time here. Well, first of all, before we get into some of the news of the day here, which I think is interesting and your perspective is deeply appreciated on, obviously you met with Donald Trump. You met with some of the people in his transition team about potentially taking a role in the new administration. Is there, at this point, would you say that you are not going to be taking a role in this administration?
I would think that the odds are not very good that I'd be taking a role. And I actually never met with Donald Trump or the transition. So if you give me 30 seconds here.
Sure.
There's two things how this works. There's a transition team that is pre-election. There's a Republican team and a Democrat team that are by law put together to try to prepare the president-elect on the very next day after election for the next 73 days to get ready to be president. So you can imagine how much work that is. 4,000 slots have to be filled, all the policy papers, developing the teams that will go in to each State Department or defense. I had the national security portfolio. And so we did all that. I was asked back in August by Chris Christie, Governor Chris Christie, to handle the national security portfolio. So we did all that. The election happens on the 9th, and it's a merger and acquisition. This was the right time for me to hand off to New York all of the work that we had done for the national security team. So they wanted to take that portfolio up in New York, which was fine. The timing was right to do that if they were going to make that adjustment, and that's exactly what happened.
So this was not ever a conversation about you joining the administration in some capacity?
No, not really. I volunteered to do it. It was not paid. I believed it was the right thing to do. I believe in that continuity of government. So because you have a real change agent coming to Washington, D.C., you know, there was a lot of extra preparation to find the right people who could go into these agencies and kind of effect that change. So I never had a discussion about I was going in the administration and I was doing this to get job A or B. Never had those discussions. Pretty happy in the private sector. Just happy that we're going to get somebody who wants to make changes in D.C. It desperately needs it.
All right. So one of the big stories today is about his relationship with FBI Director James Comey. And that the spokesman for the transition team today was asked directly about whether Donald Trump is going to ask for James Comey's resignation when he goes in. I mean, James Comey still has a number of years left as FBI director under the charter. And so the question is, do you think that Donald Trump could or should ask for the FBI director's resignation?
Could. I think he could. I don't think there's anything prohibiting it. There's nothing in there that says you get a pass for your 10-year term. I think there's probably room for debate on that. He stepped into it politically, which I'd never seen an FBI director do before. And when he was for one side of the aisle or against one side of the aisle, or at least the perception was that, that's a bad place for the FBI to be. And I know it makes FBI agents really, really uncomfortable. They don't have a party. They should not have a party. I mean, they can have their own personal beliefs, but they should be passionate about their objectivity in any investigation. I mean, this is one of the most powerful law enforcement agencies in the world that has the ability to take your freedom away. There is nothing more sacred with such a high degree of responsibility than that. When he got in and then got out and then got in and then got out, I think there was a lack of confidence from Republicans and Democrats all across Washington, D.C., that he could stay out of the political fray. All of that is going to have to be decided. It would not be an easy decision. I could understand why the president-elect would have some lack of confidence in his ability to stay out. I didn't think he handled all that very well. That being said, would that be the right decision? I think that's probably debatable both ways.
Mike, there's also news coming out today after his meeting with the New York Times and others that Donald Trump is backing off of his plan or vow on the campaign trail to appoint an independent prosecutor on Hillary Clinton and the email scandal. And, you know, a lot's being made of that right now. I guess I want to ask your thoughts on that, because wouldn't it be his position to appoint an attorney general, appoint a head of the FBI, if that's the situation, if Comey doesn't stay? But what is he saying here, and what capacity does he have to actually make any of this happen?
Well, there can be a special prosecutor appointed and named. Congress would be a part of that decision. And again, that would be something that the president could engage in if he were, in fact, inclined to do it. So I think he's going to get a lot of advice and counsel on this. I argue, with all the important things going on, you could probably do it through the normal course of investigation at the FBI. They could have a separate team come in at the FBI and look and review all the evidence. To me, that would be a better way to do it, as long as you make sure that you have a team that is independent of that first investigation. I think you could probably get there. Do you want to take the time, energy, and political capital to appoint a special prosecutor to go back? I don't know. I do think he's got a lot of big plans to get through the House and the Senate.
Yeah.
My counsel to them would be, make sure you're saving political capital for big things like roads. Like, do you want to mire yourself into that fight when you do have other options, if that's the direction you want to pursue?
But obviously the prairie fire that he started in terms of his own campaign momentum,
right,
was fueled in some respect by that whole anti-Hillary Clinton thing and the lock her up chants of some of the people at his rallies.
Sure.
And it just seems to me that those people are going to be, you've even seen Breitbart News already today break bad on Donald Trump about this, like, that, you know, this
broken
is
broken promises was the headline.
Right. And that he's not living up to it. And the angry people who really wanted, you know, the angry wing of the Trumpists were, I think, they may feel disaffected by this, because I firmly believe, and I'm not going to put the words in anybody else's mouth here but mine, mm-hmm. firmly I believe that he knew he wasn't going to be doing any of these things, but he knew that they were really good tactics to get elected, and then he'd figure it out on the other side. And that's one of the things that scares me most about what this next couple of weeks is going to look like, is that it does seem like there was less preparation for this win than maybe there should have been. Now, you were part of that transition. You guys did, I mean, I'm assuming, Congressman, you're going to tell us that everything that you guys did was, you know, as much as one could do in a situation like that. But do you feel like the Trump transition team is properly placed here to effectively be able to take over in January?
Well, here's what I think happened. I think that when the transition happened, the transition team transitioned, if you will,
yeah,
to the campaign, they went in and decided to move some pieces around, which they're absolutely, you know, welcome to do. It's their victory, their win. And that slowed down the process. I think that the work is there. There are some very creative things there. As a matter of fact, one of the teams, that the Department of Homeland Security team, came up with a fantastic plan to have Mexico pay for the wall without going down and knocking on their door and asking for a check. It's very creative. I'm sure the president, hopefully the president-elect, will take that plan, put his own stamp on it, and get that out there, because it's a very creative way. So a lot of the things that he talked about along the way that were difficult or people booed or hissed or whatever, there is some very creative solutions to that already done.
Can you put some meat on that bone, Mike? What's creative?
I can't. It doesn't belong to me. It's the transition. It's the president-elect's material. I hope he uses it. I think he'll be wise to use it. And I think it'll be exciting, actually. When I was fired up when I walked out of that room. You know why? We had really smart people sitting in that room thinking through these processes. And I think most people, average people out there, would go, you know what, that's a great solution to this problem. I'm all in. Matter of fact, if they do it right, you could probably pay for two walls.
Let me ask you very quickly before I let you go about the other developing story today about Trump and his businesses. He told the New York Times and on the record interview now with them today that he would be able to perfectly run the country and his own businesses. He used the word perfectly. Do you think it's appropriate for the president of the United States to still be involved in his own personal business here?
I don't. I think he needs to turn it over. I mean, all of the other department heads will be required to put their stocks and other things in blind trusts, and I just don't think the president should be any different from that. And that would be my advice and counsel to them. He's got a very capable family. I've gotten to know a couple of them. They're very capable to run this business, and I think he needs to turn it over to them. I think that's wholly appropriate.
Is that far enough, though? I mean, you're a former FBI agent. I mean, is that far enough so that public corruption rules, and I'm talking about rules, not just the spirit of the law, but the letter of the law, are not, because if he directs them in any way, isn't that...
Or even is knowledgeable about it. Isn't that a problem?
Right. Or if they become knowledgeable of things that he's doing or that the government is doing. I mean, doesn't that... I mean, it just... There's so... Listen, Mike, as you well know, we're from Chicago. I have been working...
I was an FBI agent in Chicago.
Yes,
oh,
you were.
So you know.
And I'm aware of that. We talked about that once.
Yes, he knows.
Exactly.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I've seen both of your files, and we've got some talking.
Yeah, I know. Well, we can talk about that later. But
separate conversation.
Yeah. But, I mean,
totally.
But...
Exactly. 20, that's a whole hour of the show.
26 of the 50 aldermen in Chicago have gone to jail since I've been working in this business. I mean, so I know that you know, there can be very, very thin line interpretation of some of these things. And it just seems to me that you know, again, you're talking about political capital. You're talking about, you know, flying into the wind as opposed to with the wind at your back here, especially in the first number of weeks, months, and maybe 2 years of his administration. You don't want to have that kind of thing hanging over your head.
Well, certainly the perception would not be good if he were knowledgeable about the business activities. I do think that we have to have some standard here that says a business person can run for president of the United States. Otherwise, you'll say you can never have a business person run for president of the United States.
Well, no one's saying that. We're just saying that it has to be a business person who's willing.
Well, you're going to have to sell off your business in order to do it. That would worry me. So is there a way to do this? I think there is. I think the same standards that apply to a business person that becomes Secretary of State or whatever, fill in the blank job in Washington, there are rules. There are pretty tough ethics rules. My argument is he ought to apply those same ethics rules to his business. And if he does that, I think he's going to be fine. You know, the problem, it's not a problem, but he wants at least one of his family members to be more engaged in strategic advice. My argument is then he should remove himself, that person should remove himself from the business, period, end of story, if that's the role he wants him to play.
But that's interesting because that'd be his son-in-law who's married to his daughter who'd be running the business. I mean, it is a very... Mm-hmm. I think you can see politically and understand as a politician, also as a guy in private business, which you have your own business now, Mike, it's the American way. This is the system. We should be very we should ask questions of our leaders and make sure that they're doing the right thing. And I think this is a very appropriate question, line of questioning for the incoming president. All right.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying he needs to apply those standards to his business dealings as well. And I think if he does that, and I have seen no indication he won't do that, then I think we're going to be fine. It just means that people should always be paying attention.
Don't worry.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, don't worry about that. There'll be plenty of attention paid.
How true is
that? I don't know if you read the New York Times every day, Congressman, but
they were live tweeting their meeting with him today.
I think there's going to be some attention. All right. Mike Rogers, thank you so much.
I can't believe that you're talking about the New York Times when you have some great newspapers like the Tribune right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right in our own building. Right here in our own building.
Exactly. Yes. What the heck?
I know, but the New York Times has been particularly...
That's the paper of record.
It is.
The Chicago Tribune, that's the paper of record.
It's the world's greatest newspaper, sir, as you will recall.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Mike, appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. And let's talk about your files. I'm telling you, Beth, they're period in the late 90s. We really got to talk about
Oh, and also in the late 2000s, and I think about an hour ago. So we'll talk
Much
about
to discuss.
Well, I didn't want to mention
Another
an hour
time.
Ago.
Yeah. After the holidays, we'll get together.
You know, Mike's listening. He's listening to what's happening off the air, too. They have a way. All right. Thank you very much, Congressman. I appreciate
like
it.
Hey,
thanks, guys.
All right.
Take
see
care.
Ya. Okay.
Guys like that do kind of scare you, don't you? Because they do know everything about you if they want to.
Yeah. Violetta Powder Medic has got the WGN Turbic Trouble Spots